When they were singing, "Show me your glory," I heard so clear that God says, "I reveal my glory through you." He blessed Adam and Eve. He said, "Be fruitful." That means to produce. More than procreating, but it means to produce continually. Everything that was good. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And he told Adam and Eve to multiply that, to increase that all across the planet, right here to the Lakes region. He says, "I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth." Everything is seed. We were created in his image. The seed of God is inside of us. And we're to produce God in everything we do. Whatever job you do it for God. You're the image of God in that workplace. You were created in his image. And he's put seed in everything. Our words are seed, whether good or bad. Everything we speak will grow up. Jesus said, "They'll know them by their fruit." We have the fruit of God's seed inside of us. His DNA is in my blood, in your blood. And that DNA produces life. When we speak God's words, we're speaking life. We're creating life. God spoke, and it was. And you read Genesis 1 sometimes. Everything that he did, he said, and he saw that it was good. And if we're created in his image, then I submit to you everything we say or do should be good. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply fill the earth and subdue it. Use all its vast resources in the service of God and man. We're to serve one another. We're to have servants' hearts. And even when you're at work, you might be asked to do something that's not in your job description. What do? Unions say you can't do it. But if God's DNA is inside of you, you should want to do it. If God's in our heart, and He is, then it shouldn't even be up for discussion or debate. We do the right thing. We show the world the glory of God when we act like God. And we can choose to do that. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Take no thought, saying." The thoughts come, but we don't have to speak them. We're in control of that. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." That's up to you and me. But if we've got God inside us, then that's easy. And He says we're supposed to grow and mature. And I think if you use the comparison of a child growing and maturing, as you get older, more is required, more is expected of an older one. But how about us that have been in the Lord for 5 years, 10 years, 30 years? Show me the glory, Father. And I hear Him say very clearly, "Show me the glory, John." Show me the glory, my children. All through worship this morning, and even including that last song, I saw God wanting to deposit inside of us. Like more than we could even contain. And I checked out for a minute. Interesting. I was just talking about just a few weeks ago, about that time that God came upon me and I was stuck to the floor. I just had that same experience. I had no control. And I actually lost all sense of where I was here. And all I can say is God was depositing. He didn't give me anything to say except keyed in on, "Show me the glory." And He said it right back to me, "Show me the glory. Show me the glory in your life. Show me the glory this week. When you come face to face with that one that's been dogging you, when that one's been troubling you at work. Maybe things at home haven't been quite perfect. Show me the glory," God says. "You act like me." We've got to learn, church, how to take care of ourselves and quit trying to take care of somebody else, trying to change somebody else. You can't change anybody else. Only God can when you allow Him to. because he won't change you if you don't want to. That's the power of who we are. You can stand face to face with God, and you will someday. We're all going to be there and stay with him. But somebody that chooses to reject him has that power and that authority and that right because of who they were created. And they can say, no, God, I don't want you. And they'll just be apart from him forever. When people joke about eternity, we need to have a response for them. I mean, I've heard it over the years. We're just going to be partying in hell with our friends. If you care about them, if you truly have the compassion of Jesus Christ, we need to have a response better than whatever it was we've had. God created us in his image. Are we reflecting his image in our daily life? Be fruitful and multiply. What exactly are we being fruitful in, and what are we multiplying in our life? We're being fruitful in something. Now, we've looked at abiding in Jesus, and when we do and make God our only source, that we'll be fruitful. But the Bible also talks about unfruitfulness. Talks about the works of the flesh. And God makes it clear, just don't go there. Don't go back to that vomit, I guess is the best word. Don't go back to that place where you were before you came into God's kingdom. I'm just listening for him. None of this is in my notes. But if you take away anything today, know this: God wants to do more with your life than you're allowing him. All of us. He wants to do more. And he's given us a book that shows us how he does things. So we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't think, well, that's going to cut into fun. That's going to cut into... No. God knows how to do things. But he wants to do more in us. He wants to reach more people through us. He wants us to reveal his glory on a daily basis. If we could just go home, go to work tomorrow, open our day planner and cross it all off, and then put reveal God's glory to the world. And let the Holy Spirit direct us. Your businesses will take off. Your job promotions will come. Because our heart has to be right. When our heart's right. Come up here, young lady. Here, come up here. I want... Whoops. Somebody help her. Okay. We'll come to you. Is there a seatbelt in that chair? Mm-hmm.
I just have to share with you people in Bosquine. my town, there's an intersection and there's raised beds of land. And God has, like, six, 7 years ago directed me to put flowers there. And it was just a mess. So we have 8 barrels with beautiful super petunias in it and beds of flowers in these 3 raised islands. And some of the islands are longer than this room. And, you know, I do it for the Lord, and it's like hot and it's dusty, and I go there 3 times a day and I pick up maybe 100 cigarette butts and spend countless hours getting mosquito bites at night. After I get out of work, I go there and work till dark at the islands. I go in the morning. I go on my lunch hour. I go on my days off. I've had a chance to go see Barbara Arbo, but I knew the Lord wanted me to do this. So I've been praying. Psalm 2:8. God says, ask of me and I will give you the heathen for the inheritance of my son. So I've been praying and believing in faith that everybody that goes past these islands on the main street of Boscawen will get saved, born again, filled with the Spirit of God, healed. And we have over 15,000 cars that go by every day. Now, I've been praying this way, and it's like the enemy says, this is so vague. This is crazy. All these people, do you think God's going to touch every one of them? But you see, that just makes me pray more, because he's a liar. So I just want to share, Pastor, and it's people are very encouraging. They'll speak something out. And the other day, a person stopped and said to me, you get paid for this, right? And I go, no. And he said, no? And I go, nope, I don't. And I've been asking God what to say to these people, because I don't want to get the glory. And sometimes I'll say to them, you know, God just wants to put a smile on your face. He wants to bless you this way. But when, Pastor, when we were bowing our heads like when the fire fall, and I was asking God for creative ideas, how to touch these people more. I'm very serious. This is a ministry of God, and I don't want to let God down. And he gave me, Pastor, exactly what to say to every person, because a lot of them will stop, or a lot of them, when they're waiting for the light to change, I'm right there working in the beds, you know what I mean? They'll just say, hi, how are you? Thank you, it looks gorgeous. But God has got a plan. And this is what he told me to tell every person. And I told the Lord, I'm obedient. You just give me the plan and I'll do it. And it's very simple. This is what God told me while that music was playing, Firefall. And God said, tell them God loves you and has a plan for your life. Now, we know God will anoint that. And it's all God's work. And so it doesn't matter. A lot of people are drunk when they talk to me. Some people are high on drugs when they talk to me. The truck drivers, you know, they're just, you know, making these comments. But it doesn't matter. Because when God is in it, you just be faithful. And God will do it. And that was what Pastor was saying today. God wants to use every one of us for his glory, his glory. And God gives you the plan, and God will anoint it, and God will do it, and he gets all the glory.
Does anybody else have anything? Anne-Marie, come on.
So like Pastor was just saying, we're supposed to be showing God's love and talking about God's love. Two things. One, I had a dream last night. And I don't usually remember my dreams, but it was somewhere in the middle of the night. And I was walking through like a mall or something. And there was these people, they were set up, they had a table and they had a couch. And they were talking about love. And they were like playing games, trying to draw people's attention. And I was going by and I stopped and I listened and I watched, And these people were witnessing for Jesus without mentioning the name of Jesus, without mentioning the love of God. And I walked away realizing this is what was missing. They're showing the love of God. They're acting Jesus-like, but they weren't speaking the name of Jesus. And so take from that what you want, but that's what the Lord gave me to share right now. And the second thing, I just would like to ask y'all to pray for me when about self-discipline and about showing God's love everywhere I go, because I asked the Lord today, and I would encourage each of you to do this before every service, to speak to me. There's something that I need to hear today. I want to hear something personal, and I heard it. Some of you know I do magazines a couple days a week, and it's not easy. Picture yourself at a market basket with a line full of people, and you have to kind of squeeze in there and put these magazines in there. Well, this past week I was doing that, and I have got a hands full of magazines. And this lady, a lot of people give you rude looks or whatever, like, you know, aren't you going to help? I don't work for the store. They might think I work for the store. But this woman, I have my hands full of magazines, and she looks at me and she says, well, can you get that for me? You're a lot closer than I am. And I was so in my flesh at that moment. So I believe the Lord is just having me share this to encourage all of us that our flesh is something that has to be dealt with moment by moment, day by day. It's you know, doing good works and reading the word, but always be conscious of our flesh that needs to be, tamed, but put it down.
Crucified.
Crucified, yeah. To remember that our flesh needs to be crucified every day. I think that's all I have.
Of course.
Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, the veil was torn. The glory was kept behind the veil up until Jesus' death. And then that veil was rent from top to bottom. And now God's glory is revealed. He's not withholding it. He's not holding it back. It's revealed. We have to behold it. And to the degree that we behold it, we're going to display it. It goes on to say, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. You can't just come and say, well, we had glory today. No. This glory is going to lead you to the next glory, to the next glory, to the next glory. There's so much revelation to be had. We can't exhaust the word of God. We can't exhaust the things he wants to reveal to us. And the more time we spend with him, the more we'll become like him.
Amen. That is the scripture. Anybody else? Who? Okay, you have to sit down. It's not my fault.
No, it's not the microphone either. While you were away, Barbara was here. I got healed. Barbara called us up if we had any root of bitterness. And I was not aware that I had any root of bitterness. I'm so full of love. I was not aware, but I said, she's calling that up, and I'm going to go, you know, because I don't want any root of bitterness. Who knows what's left over, you know, from something. And, oh, my goodness, my lower back just like that. And it was gone.
Did you all get that?
I got this pain in my lower back that just went whoosh, right out the door. And I wasn't aware that I still had that. I've had that forever. Well.
You're not that old.
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm proud of it.
You're only 30.
I'm proud of it. God's kept me alive for a reason. And my heart's just been flooded with forgiveness for every single person. I see people differently. My family, my tenants, myself. Oh, and I was praying for everybody else, and guess what? Oh, I had to put me first. Oh, please help me, God. Pray for me first, and then the other people. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you. I'm glad you went away and had a wonderful spiritual blessing. I thank you for Barbara and Steve to fill in.
I think I understand what you just said.
Thank
you. I love you, Connie.
All right, thank you.
Linda, did you...
I believe this is encouragement for the body. Recently, the Lord gave me three visions, and I only feel led to share one of them. And one of them is that, as clear as Pastor is standing here, I saw the Lord walking, and he was walking toward, and something was behind his back. I can't say what it was right now. I think it was a city. But he was walking toward, and what I see him walking toward, I saw his beautiful robes just flowing down by his feet. And I know it was him and not the disciples or one of the disciples, because I saw his feet and the nail scars and the blood on his feet. And what he was walking toward was you and you and you and you and you and all the plans that he has for every one of us. I think the message is that he is in it. He's moving in and toward and through every single plan. And he does have a plan. But what's the secret? The secret is to open our eyes to him and to see, follow his feet, follow where he's walking. And he's moving with us in each and every plan. Goes with the theme.
Is anybody connecting the dots? From something as simple, I mean, not easy, but simple as what Nancy was talking about, God's got a plan in that. And a plan for other people that come in contact with you. And I love what you said, Connie, is you're beginning to see people differently. Even the world you're going to see differently. And you're going to approach them differently. You're going to approach them more like Jesus would. Steve. Say, well, I want you to just have it on the mic so everybody can hear it.
I get to meet a lot of different people all day, every day. And the ministry that I'm in does the same thing. And I hear that same thing that you hear. Oh, I'm just going to hang out with my buddies. Going to go to hell. We're going to party. And then the bell's going to ring and we'll do whatever. Well, I heard something, a description of what hell is really like. Think of what God is and who God is and what God is like. Think of all of that gone. The total absence of light, love, and fellowship. You, the sinner, dropped into a bottomless pit. You don't see anything. You don't feel anything. You don't hear anything. You can't even hear yourself. You're just falling. There's no sense of anybody there. You can call out, but you can't even hear yourself, because there's nobody to listen. The total absence of love. You feel absolutely nothing. Maybe a little hate. The anguish. The sorrow. Crying. It's made me and given me a tool when I hear that. That's what I tell them. I say, oh, by the way, you know that God is love, right? Oh, yeah, I've read that. I said, do you know what the hell is really like? And I tell them about what hell's really like. And I've actually gotten a few people to go, oh, really? Then I tell them about Jesus. It gives me the opportunity to say, you don't want to go to the hell that I'm telling you about, the absence of God. Wouldn't it be better to spend eternity with the love and with your friends? walking streets of gold, to have the presence of God, that love with you all the time. I've actually had a chance to minister to a few people that's really made changes in their life.
Anyways, I was driving to my daughter's yesterday, and I just kept hearing the Holy Spirit say over and over again, your gifts will make room for you. And I'm like, God, my gifts, our gifts, all of our gifts, his gifts. So anyways, I was going to hand this to you.
Oh, I have one.
Yes, let's see. I'm going to read out of 2 Timothy. I read this in prayer today, verse 6. Let's see. For this reason, and I believe this is for us from the Lord, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So I just believe that was from the Lord. And I just want to share something else. My grandson is teaching me, God is showing me so much through him and his relationship with his father. Finally, praise God, he's 15 months old, and he walked. But what happened was I was near him, and I've been really praying for him to walk. Lord, is he going to walk? Well, anyways, I said, Xavier, go see Dada, go see Daddy. And all of a sudden, he was probably from where I am to where Deb is. He was so excited to see his father that he forgot. See, the Lord says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm trying to do this as a vision for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Well, as he focused on his father and not on his walking, okay, not on our ministries, not on our walking, but focus on the father, he put both of his arms up, which was for us in worship to the Lord. And as he did that, he was able to keep his balance. And he, with the biggest smile I've ever seen, and his dad too, he was walking to his father fast and furious. And as he's walking to his father, he said, nice and easy, nice and easy. Just go easy, nice and easy. And neither one of them lost focus of each other's eyes. And I think that's what the Lord wants to say to us. Where is our focus? Focus on your father. Our father has so much for us. And it's not in our own strength. It's not in anything that we can do. It's all the seed, all the gifts that he's there. It's already in us. Walking is already in us. Talking the word of God is already in us. We have to practice. We have our part. But our father is standing there with open arms, just waiting for each and every one of us to walk, and we'll walk in a manner worthy of the call of God in our lives because we're focused in the word and on him. We have our part, but he's got open arms.
Careful.
I have a shirt that says I love my church. I almost wore it today. This is part two. This is like where the rubber meets the road. And I just was thinking about it when I was giving this testimony, Pastor, just before that. When I picked up Diane this morning, we both live in Bosquine, and right next to her, she has neighbors, Missy, and her husband, Ron, they've had a lot of marriage problems, and he's, I guess, not a nice guy. He's not very nice. No, he's not. And so they are separated right now. So he's kind of mean, and he got custody. When was it, Diane, a couple weeks ago? Every other week he gets custody of the kids. And
a couple of weeks ago, he picked up the kids to take them boating. He's 42 years old. Now, he lives in Bosqueline, and he goes past these islands. Well, he took the kids boating, and there was people with him, and all of a sudden, he had a heart attack, and he died with the kids right there in the boat. Now, you know what? God challenges me for bold prayers. And you know what? I believe he's saved because I have prayed for every person that went past this island to get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've claimed, I do it many times a day. And you know what? I really believe he's in heaven. And when I get there, I really believe he's going to be there because in the book of Esther, it says, who knows, but if you've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this.
Thank you. Whoop.
Whoop. Whoop. Whoop. Thank you, Rick.
Close call.
Thank you.
Praise God.
So I just have one more sobering word of the scripture, and it was one that Pastor brought up earlier in Malachi. Malachi 4:2, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. So again, we need to be the light in the world so that the wicked have a chance to turn and repent and receive Jesus. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. And this is to us, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing at his wings. And that son, I haven't looked at the other versions, but in the New King James says S-U-N. And I always thought that was a typo, but like Pastor today during worship, the Lord was just showing me his glory and that we are meant to be the glory to the world. We are the light of the world. And so, again, I just want to encourage you today, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And it says, and you shall go out and grow like stall-fed calves. So go out, allow the glory of God, the Son of Righteousness, to flow through you this week, and just have a God consciousness.
Amen. One scripture and I'll close. Oh, yes, sir.
To everybody who prayed during our ordeal this past weekend, thank you so much. You're my family. I just want to say, going up on 3 years ago, I had a severe alcohol problem. I was an alcoholic. All my life I've been a drug addict until I got born, I got saved, and I got delivered of that. And I've been, this Thanksgiving, it'll be 3 years without any alcohol, anything.
Amen.
So, my whole life has led up to this. You guys, I wasn't going to stand up here, but you're talking about being born for such a time as this. I was content to be a sideline Christian. Me, Terry and I, we teach Sunday school once a month, and I was been content to just come to church and but that So I know how to speak to the addict. I know how to speak to the alcoholic. I know how to speak to someone gripped in pornography. I know how to speak to... I don't have to know. I've never been a heroin addict. I don't have to know what your addiction is. I know what the answer is. I have to know the specific. They all got a different look. It's like a football team lining up. They all line up different. Satan comes in a different way, puts on a different face. You get to a new level, it's a new devil. It's same deal. It's basically a battle. Like you've heard about the wolves. There's a wolf, two wolves inside of us. One is good. He denies himself because he loves others. The other one is totally selfish. He'll kill, steal, destroy whatever he to satisfy his passions, his lusts, and his hunger. And they're doing this all the time. And it's the flesh. One is our flesh. The other one is the Spirit of God, and they're doing this all the time, all the time. And we need to fight with the Spirit. I've been meditating this week on... 28th chapter of Deuteronomy is one. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord, being watchful to do all that he commands you to do, all that he tells you to do, and you'll give heed to his voice, and then it has the list of all the blessings. And That's a rule for, that's standard operating procedure. And it's critically important for the attacks that if you do anything for the Lord, that you will be attacked. I'm going to stop before I start rambling, but I just want to say, if there's anyone here that's got an addiction, an alcohol problem, lust problem, it doesn't matter what it is, and it doesn't matter what you've done, you please come see me. There is one thing, though, repentance. You got to be straight with the Lord. But this is the hour. If you look at the first four chapters of Revelation, I heard David Jeremiah say this, that he believed, nobody knows the day or the hour, but that the rapture happened after the fourth chapter, because the first four chapters tell us about repentance. And that's what... that's what AA is all about. And just please come see me. It's about repentance, and it's about following the Spirit. We follow a holy God, and the spiritual warfare going on. We need to pray for our pastor, because the devil will set you up. I'm rambling. Could you? Thank you. That's all I have to say. I'm not. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Dale. is proof that it doesn't matter what you've been involved in or whatever, God can still use you. It's a lie of the enemy that you've done something too bad that he can't use you. God is a good, good God. And everybody has a back, a history, but it's behind you. Paul had a history too, of murder and whatnot. And he had to look forward, not backward. And look what God did with him. As I said earlier, everybody is valuable to God. Everybody has an assignment. Everybody is needed in the body. And so the scripture that I wanted to close with just came to me in worship. Can find it. Oh, I know, it's in Matthew. Matthew 5:16. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If the way we present ourselves to the world, they see what says here is good works, it causes them to glorify God. It goes right back to God created us in his image. Because when we're doing those good works, we're presenting God to them in whatever it is, whether it's at your work, at school, whether you're helping a neighbor, whether you just help somebody at the grocery store. You become God, the image of God, when you're doing what Jesus would do. Let's just close on that. So let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works, and that they would glorify your Father in heaven. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. Father, I thank you for this service. It's been different, but I thank you for it. I believe you've touched the hearts of many here and the minds. I believe you've opened our eyes to some things, and I thank you greatly for that. Father, may we truly touch and affect the world for you as we leave this place. This is just a meeting house. We are your body. We are the church. May we live such that people will see your glory. Father, we love you. We honor you. We give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, you are dismissed. We do have refreshments, I believe, so stick around.